You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw,
who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Hey guys, this is Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw. We're back for the podcast, this time for the very first time remotely. We're not at the same place. We haven't grabbed coffee down on University Avenue in Palo Alto. But I'm actually in Berlin right now. And Heaton, where are you? Are you at home?
Yeah, I'm actually at home. Everyone's having breakfast downstairs. I already had it, and hoping that my kids don't come in and start yelling.
Well, I do hope that your kids are going to come in and start yelling. It'd be awesome to have them on the show.
Totally.
All right. So, you know, the thing we wanted to talk about today is recently I published a blog post on the Close.io blog about how moving to Silicon Valley made me think small. Or smaller. And Heaton, you were so awesome, and you actually included the blog post in your weekly SaaS email.
Yep.
That email is one of the most valuable emails I get, and the one that I'm really looking forward to. So tell me, maybe folks, how to get on that email and what they get from it, real quick.
Oh, sure. Yeah, actually, one just got sent right now. It's on Heaton.com, Heaton.com, and if you're into SaaS, I just send nine links and a tip every week for anybody interested in learning about SaaS. And I've got all kinds of people on the list, from entrepreneurs to investors to wantrepreneurs, so to speak, people who are still not started yet.
And there's probably nobody that, A, knows as much as you do about SaaS, has launched more businesses than this successfully in SaaS, and consumes as much like content around SaaS and anything else probably on the web than you. So you're the perfect hub mastermind for like being the curator of what content people should be, you know, consuming. So anyways, I recommend it to everybody. I love that email that I get weekly. And I was excited to see that you included the link to that blog post that I wrote. And last time when we chatted, you said that you loved the blog post and you wanted to chat about it. You had some strong opinions on it. And since then, I've been looking forward to this kind of podcast to chat about it. So maybe I'll set up the premise. Oh, no, maybe let's do it the other way around. Instead of me telling people what I said in that blog post, why don't you tell people, kind of give them the summary of what that was about and what you liked or disliked about it, and let's just kick it off that way.
Yeah, I think there's actually a very interesting quote in that blog post or line that you say that's probably the one that I would start with. So I think one of the things that basically what Steli's talking about in the blog post is, the title is How Silicon Valley Made Me Think Small. But there's this quote in there that I found really explains it all, which is, he basically says, there is power in thinking big, but there is magic in the small steps towards that big dream. And another line you use, which I actually have used myself before, is giant startups start out small. So what I like to say is, big things start small.
Mm.
So I guess it kind of hit me because you use examples from Facebook and Khan Academy and Airbnb and Dropbox and actually even Yahoo and Google. I've even like went through, like, if you go through like archive.org, and you go through old websites of some of these companies, you realize that their value proposition in the beginning is much different than what it is today. If you go to Facebook, they had a whole different proposition just around college students. And if you go to like even like a company like HubSpot or Salesforce or whatever, you'll find that they have much smaller value proposition than what you see today, a much, you know, as if they did take small steps to get to where they are. And I thought it was really cool that you're talking about this. And even, I mean, I know your title is your title, like is a good title, but it's an important concept that I think people like just don't understand. And it's a little bit difficult because, you know, if you're starting out a company, you generally tend to think big and have a big vision and this and that. And you don't really think about what these small steps are that'll get you there.
Yeah, it's also, it's interesting. The reason why I even thought about this or I wanted to write about it is that last year I was stranded in Greece while waiting for a new passport after, you know, my passport was stolen in Zurich. It's a long story. And I was having dinner with this, you know, big group of Greek entrepreneurs, startup entrepreneurs. And one of them like leaned forward and asked me this question and went like, Stelly, tell us all about how Silicon Valley made you think bigger. And, you know, I could sense the expectations of the room was to tell everyone how magically this moving from Europe to Silicon Valley made me think bigger and larger and my vision became much. It was the opposite. And I was like, huh, actually moving to Silicon Valley made me think smaller, because when I moved to the Valley, I had pretty grand ambitions and visions, and I was thinking pretty big. I wanted to change education around the world and forever and everything, but I wasn't taking the necessary small steps to get there. So hence why I had a big vision, but I really didn't move anything. And that was kind of the starting point of a long and engaged and heated discussion that night, and that kind of inspired the blog post. And I remembered back, I myself was super arrogant about judging other people's ideas back then. So when I arrived in Silicon Valley with my education startup idea that would change the world, I looked at startups like Dropbox and thought, this is stupid. Why would anyone dedicate their life to file sharing? Who cares, right? Or Airbnb going, this is the stupidest idea ever. Who cares about sleeping on people's sofas, right? And obviously I have an amazing track record at picking winners. But the point is that it's so easy to dismiss ideas that seem small. But at the same time, we all do it. I still struggle with it today when sometimes people tell me what they do and I'm not quite sure how this could become a thing. So how do you deal with that? Like with when people pitch you their ideas and they do it all day long and they tell you about what they want to do, do you care when an idea seems super small and you think it could never scale, or you think it's too, do you ever tell people their ideas are too small? Are you one of the people that still says this, or have you stopped saying it? And if so, why?
It's a great question. I like the way you frame that. I don't even think about big or small anymore. I generally just think about what can this be? And does this person understand what it can be and how to get there? So what's more important is, and this is why I really like the idea you put out there in your post around like going step by step. I would say that like I generally try to think of whatever someone's presenting me as their point of view on the world. And I try to figure out if they're thinking too big, right, from the beginning, I try to help them understand what's the next best step to take and explain to them why I think of it like that based on what they've told me. If I think that they're thinking too small, I guess if you would call it that, I would just try to, I wouldn't necessarily tell them they're thinking small. I wouldn't even tell the person who's thinking big they're thinking big. But again, if they're thinking small, I would just try to help them understand what the possibilities are, because that's what they need to understand. So it's more about just like, what do they need? Like, what do they need to continue build the business they need to build, et cetera?
Also, I mean, that's a great point. And the other thing that I find is that people underestimate, I don't know if most people, including myself still, truly understand the concept of momentum and the magic of momentum. And too many times I talk to people that want to take steps that are just a little bit too big to be practical. So they